Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the fifth wide line of Daf Ayin Hey. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah from Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Vadon Bevadon Mutter. The marriage between definite pedigree problems, for example, a mamzer with a mamzeres, that's allowed. Sveikon bivadon osur, doubtful with certain is not allowed. The Gemara, by way of markings, you can see we have a Roman numeral number 1, in which we present a machlokis Rav and Shmuel. Later, you see a couple lines later, a Roman numeral number 2, and that is again a machlokis Rav and Shmuel. However, it will appear that the second presentation of Rav and Shmuel is in contradiction with their respective shitas in the first presentation. A house marking will appear a bit later, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei / Mivneh Henning, we indicate that the purpose of these house markings is Liashev Stira, to resolve the contradiction Barav Shmuel Binyan Sofek Im Dino Kevadai Mamzer. The general issue is, how do we look at a Sofek? Is a doubtful Mamzer viewed halachically as a full-fledged mamzer? The first and most obvious manifestation of that would be, if you consider the Sofek like a vadai, they would be allowed to marry with one another. Of course, we just read from the Mishnah that Rebbe Lozer forbids that. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda. Omar Rav, halacha k'Rebbe Lozer. We emphasize, according to Rebbe Lozer, Sofek is not like Vadai. So that Rav, in ruling like Rebbe Lozer, is saying that Sofek, that a doubt, is not like a certain. A doubtful Mamzer, maybe yes, maybe no, is not like a definite Mamzer. So we can't allow the wedding of a definite Mamzer with a Sofek Mamzer, namely an Asufi or a Shtuki. Ki Amriso Kamei de Shmuel, Rav Yehuda learned initially by Rav, and then he learned by Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda tells us that when I then told that over to Shmuel, that I told over Rav's ruling that we rule like Rebbe Lozer, Omar Li, Shmuel, told me, Hillel Shoine, Hillel, the great Tana, Hillel, teaches. And you'll see that the language here is like the beginning of our Perek, the Mishnah from the beginning of the Perek. Hillel, in his Mishnayos, taught, Asora Yuchsin, Olu Mibovel, the Kulon Mutorin Lovo Zebozeh. There were 10 different categories of pedigree, pure, impure, that came from Bovel, and all of them are allowed to marry with one another. Now, that includes Sofek with Vadai. V'at Amris Halocha Karebi Elozer, and you're ruling like the Tana Rebbe Elozer. Hillel teaches that Sofek is allowed with Vadai. So according to Shmuel, and we've written this between the lines, Sofek is viewed like Vadai. Sofek Mamzer problem is viewed like an actual Mamzer, and hence they can marry with one another. And how is it then that you, namely Rav, can rule like Rebbe Lozer, who says otherwise? Veromi de Rav adarav, veromi de Shmuel de Shmuel. As we said earlier, the Gemara proceeds to now raise a seeming contradiction within Rav's opinions and Shmuel's opinions. De Itmar, Arusa Sheibra. And Arusa is a married woman in the initial stage of marriage before she consummates her marriage. Halachically speaking, she's considered a married woman. And she appears pregnant. Now, she hasn't consummated her marriage with her Orus, with the husband, yet. So it's a little odd that she's pregnant. And so we have a doubt. Suffolk, her pregnancy is from the Orus. Suffolk, it's from someone else. Rav Omar Havlad Mamzer. Rav says that the offspring, the child, is a Mamzer. As a married woman, Rav is viewing her as if she had relations with some other man that impregnated her. That would result in Mamzerus. Ushmuel Omar Havlad Shtuki. And Shmuel rules the Vlad is a Suffolk Mamzer. We call a Shtuki. We know who the mother is, the father we don't know. Rav Omar Havlad Mamzer, Umutur b'Mamzeres. By Rav ruling that the Vlad is a Mamzer, is in effect saying that Vlad, even though it's a doubt, but it can marry a Mamzeres. So here you have Rav saying that Sofek is like Vadai. Compare this with what Rav said earlier. Here we're going to take advantage of our arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And the arrows are pointing to the write-ins between the lines. So the above arrow mentioned that Rav posik the Suffolk Eino Kavadai. Rav ruled that Suffolk is not like Vadai. And here, according to Rav, Suffolk is like Vadai. We continue. Ushmuel Omar Havlat Shtuki. In the case of the Arusa Shibra, the Arusa that appeared pregnant, he says that the child is a Shtuki. And by calling him that, he's telling us Ve'osur b'mamzeres. The child cannot marry a Mamzeres because Suffolk is not like Vadai. And here again we have arrows to the left hand side of the Gemara text. Compare this to what was said above in the name of Shmuel. There he said Suffolk is like Vadai. We have a seeming contradiction. The Gemara's first approach is Epuch, switch around what was just said and read as follows. Rav Omar Havlat Shtuki, instead of Shmuel saying that Rav says the Vada Shtuki, and by saying that, we're saying this, that it's a Suffolk and it's not allowed to marry a Mamzer. A Suffolk is not like a Vadai. Ushmuel Omar Havlad Mamzer. In the Arusa Shibra, even though it's a objectively a Suffolk, he said we're calling the Vlad a Mamzer, which means that the Suffolk is like a Vadai. That, so far, is the first approach as presented by the house marking in resolving the contradiction. We have a bracketed section now, and if you skip it initially, you will see E boyasei mol yolum lo tepuch. Alternatively, don't switch around. Umay mamzer dekoma rav. In the case of Arusa Sheibra, he called the Vlad a mamzer. What does that mean, that the Vlad is a mamzer? Lav muter b'mamzeres. It's not a suggestion that this doubtful case is going to be allowed to marry a real mamzeres. Elo de osur bevas Yisrael. All Rav was trying to accomplish when he said that the Vlad is a mamzer is that it should not marry into the rank and file Jewish people. Ushmuel Omar Havlat Shtuki. And Shmuel, when he said that the Vlad is a Shtuki, Shmuel wasn't saying that the Suffolk is not going to be like a Vadai. But rather, all Shmuel is trying to say is the Osir Bebas Yisrael. Here we have a little number one, because this is the first presentation of Shmuel. However, this is very problematic, because now you have Rav and Shmuel saying exactly the same thing. That's what the dot underlining helps you to see. Ihachi hainu de Rav. Well, if that's how you're going to present Shmuel, he's the same as Rav, and that can't be. They're here to argue. Elomai shtuki. What does Shmuel mean when he says shtuki? Now we have a number two. There's going to be several more numbers, because we are going to be presenting Shmuel in stages. But in the meantime, what does shtuki mean? Shemeshaskin oisei midin kahuna. The child that's born will not be entitled to marry into the kahuna. If the Orus was a Kohen, let's just say that again, that if the Orus was a Kohen, so we're not going to consider the child a Kohen. Mishaskin means we silence him from the din of kahuna. Before we get too far aflung, let's go back over the bracketed section. According to the first house marking, we said epoch. We said that the example of Arusa Sheibra and their Rav and Shmuel's respective rulings are the same positions as they took above in either ruling like Rebbe Lozer, as was the case in Rav, or not, as was the case with Shmuel. The question now is, and this is what's dealt with in the brackets, we have a little note, a starred note on the side, which reads, "Achrei ha-sograim va'oid yishuv b'stira, la-stira b'Rav u'Shmuel." After the brackets, as we've already demonstrated, we have a second approach to resolving the stira in Rav and Shmuel. "B'soch ha-sograim ha-gemora mazbira d'lefi tshuvas epuch." The Gemara within the brackets will explain that according to the first house marking, the first answer, namely, switch around. You'd say the Rav Shmuel Cholku al Noisei Hagdora Sofik Pamayim Loma. The result would be that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about how to categorize a Sofik on two occasions. Why do they have to argue about that twice? So in the brackets, you can see Tarti Lomali, the Tarti, the two. It's a reference to the Roman numerals we had, one and two. Why? Is it necessary? Why is it necessary to have them arguing about Suffolk? Is it like Avani or not on two occasions? Tzricha, I need both presentations. Of course, you can see this is a long answer. We have such a marking here. De'i itmar beha. Had we taught Rav's position that Suffolk eino kevadai and osur b'mamzeres, with regard to the Mishnah, beha ka'omar Rav mishum derov ksheirim etzla. The Mishnah that spoke about shtuki marrying a mamzeres, the shtuki there was a child from a mother that was a penuya. Penuya means she was an unmarried woman, and Rav ruled that the Suffolk is not like a Vare and cannot marry a Mamzeres, because the chances were very strong that the child was okay. She wasn't married. You don't have a case of a married woman and our doubt, did she have the relations with the husband or the rest of the world, where the cards are stacked against her. Here, in the Mishnah, we were dealing with a shtuki coming from an unmarried mother, a single woman. And Rov, the majority, or Ksherim Esla, the majority of men that would have relations with her, would not have resulted in a Mamzer product. Aval Hossam, in the second case where Rav and Shmuel appeared, in the case of Arusa Sheibroa, the Arusa became pregnant. Deroiv psulim etzla, the majority of pregnancy chances in that case would result in real mamzerus. She's a married woman, so who had relations with her? The Orus or some other man? And the only way the child would not be a mamzer is if the oros had relations, but all the other men, even if they were kosher men, but she's a married woman, that would have resulted in mamzerus. So Emo Moedin Lishmuel. I would have thought that in that case, Rav would concede to Shmuel that the suffix in that case is like a vadai. V'yitmar b'hach, and had we taught you Rav's position in the case of Arusa Shebra, Rav's position that suffix is not like a vadai, that the child there who is a doubt is not viewed like a real mamzer. But how come a Rav? Maybe only their Rav would say his point. Mishum dikol mitla boros. We have upon whom to ascribe the pregnancy. Namely, there's a husband in the picture. It's true, he's only an oros. He hasn't consummated his marriage with her yet. But nevertheless, there's a kosher person to ascribe the marriage. And I would add that it's quite likely that if she had intimacy, she would have had it with him. So he is around upon whom to ascribe the pregnancy. Avol b'ha, in the case of the Mishnah, Ema Modi l'Shmuel. There's no husband in the picture. So maybe there, Rav would have conceded to Shmuel that the Sofek is like a Vadai. Tzricha, therefore, we have to teach the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, on our Mishnah as well. And we already went on in the Gemara with the low tapuch approach. There's no need to switch around. And the use of the word mamzer on the part of Rav was simply to tell me that the child is mutter b'mamzeres, because the sofek is... let me correct myself. That the Rav's use of the word mamzer is not to allow the mamzer, not allow to the child to marry a mamzeres, because Rav does not say sofek is like vadai, elo doser bebas Yisrael. And then Shmuel, we said he says the same thing, that when he called the Vlad Shtuki, it's all he's trying to say is also bebas Yisrael. But then we pointed out that Rav and Shmuel aren't arguing. Elo mai shtuki, we got to an answer number two. And we said, Shemeshaskinoi soimidin kahuna, that if the Oros was a Kohen, the child would not be viewed as a Kohen. The Gemara asks, if that's the explanation you're giving for Shmuel shtuki, Shemeshaskin, that we silence him from the kahuna status, even though the Oros was a Kohen, that would be pshita. That would be obvious. I don't need Shmuel to tell me that. Why not? Hashto midin Yisrael mishaskinon lei. Mind you, we don't view him as a standard Yisrael. We don't allow him to marry into the rank and Jewish people. Midin kahuna mibaya. To tell me that he's not going to be considered a Kohen, do I need to tell me? That's anticlimactic. It's so obvious. Elo mai shtuki. Number three. What did Shmuel mean that in the case of Arusa Sheibra, that the Vlad is a shtuki? Shemeshaskin oisai minifsei oviv. We don't enable him to inherit his father's properties. Or says, pshita, that's obvious. Mi adina navu amanu. Do we even know who his father is? Lo tzricha de tofas. Rashi says, de tofas de nichse ha'orus. We said we don't know who the father is because it might not have been the orus that impregnated this one's mother. The child grabbed, though, property of the orus. Shmuel, by telling us that the Vlad is a shtuki, and Meshaskin Oisi Mirchsi Oviv, Shmuel is saying, even though he grabbed it, took hold of some of the properties, we will take it away from him. V'boyasema, my shtuki, beduki. Another approach is, what did Shmuel mean when he said shtuki? Beduki, we check out. Sheboikin es imoi v'oimeres, we check out the mother and she tells us l'kosher nivalti nemenes, and she says I was impregnated by a kosher individual. We would believe her. The Gemara asks, you'll notice we have a long question. Keman, Kerabba Gamliel, this idea of asking the mother and her revealing that the Kashin of Alti, we believe her, that's like Rabbi Gamliel, but Ha'amar Shmuel Chadazimna, but Shmuel himself told us this already. What do I need this again for? This non. Hoysimu Beres, a woman comes to us pregnant, Viomru Law, and they ask her, Ma Tivoi Shel Ubarzeh, what's the nature of this child? And she tells us, Meish Ploni V'Kohenhu, the child was fathered by a pure pedigree individual. She mentions who it is, and she tells us that he is a Kohen, meaning he's a pure pedigree. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Nemenes, Rabbi Gamliel, along with Rabbi Elazar, says she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua Marino Nemenes, Yomar of Yudamar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. You'll notice we've used some dashed underlining. We want to connect Shmuel ruling like Rabbi Gamliel that she is believed. So the question is, why do I need Shmuel to tell me in answer number 4 that in the case of Arusa Shebra, the Vlad is a Shtuki, meaning Beduki. We check him out through asking the mother and we will rely on her answer. That seems to be redundant on Shmuel's part. He's already ruled like Rabbi Gamliel, who relies on the mother's answer. Tzricha, nope, I need Shmuel to tell me that she is believed. In the case of the Arusa Shebra, even though Shmuel already has ruled like Rabbi Gamliel, De'i mehasam, had I had just Shmuel's ruling like Rabbi Gamliel, havamina, I would have thought hasam roiv ksheir metzla. In the case where Rabbi Gamliel spoke up, and there the majority of men that would have impregnated her would have been kosher, so she's already got a majority on her side. Aval hocha, but in the case of Arusa Shebra, she's a married woman and she comes to us pregnant. The roiv sulam leslo, the majority of men that are candidates for impregnating her are those that would have resulted in the child being a mamzer. Amolo, there maybe we wouldn't rely on the woman's word. Tzricha, therefore I need the additional ruling of Shmuel in the case of Arusa Sheibra, that the Vlad is a Shtuki, which means Beduki. We check her out, we ask her questions, and we rely on her answer, even if the answer is an answer of leniency, that the child is kosher. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei slash mivne heading, and we also indicate ad ayin vav amud aleph. So we have a long discussion in front of us, and the crown shape that you see has berim lishitas rebelozer dekusi lo yisokusis. We have a source that says that according to Rabbi Elazar, kusi lo yisa kusis. What does that mean? So the crown marking will introduce different approaches to trying to explain that. Additionally, we have a diamond, shnei gishois beshitas ravdimi. The diamond highlights two approaches within Ravdimi. Ravdimi is the second crown marking. We continue now in the Gemara. Tanya. V'chein Rebbe Elazar Omer Kusi Lo Yiso Kusis. Rebbe Elazar was famous in our recent discussion as the Shita that says Shtuki Lo Yiso Mamzeres, that a doubt should not marry a certain. A doubtful mamzer should not marry a definite mamzeres. Rabbi Elazar adds, a kusi should not marry a kusis. Now the definition of kusi in our Gemara for this particular sukya is a reference to a people that converted many years ago to Judaism, and the circumstances of their conversion were questionable. We should point out that the Mishnah on Ayin Dalel and Aleph mentioned that Sfeikos, doubtful ones, include Shtuki Asufi and Kusi. Rashi on the Mishnah presented some historical background, and we just made reference to their questionable conversion to Judaism. The approach Rashi presents on the Mishnah is that they had converted out of a fear of lions that were threatening them. So they figured that they'll save themselves by converting to Judaism. A conversion like that is not a legitimate type conversion. The Mishnah presents them as an additional example of sfeikus, of doubtful ones. Rav Elazar here is telling us that a kusi should not marry a kusis. Well, the Gemara wants to my time. Why is that? So Omar of Yosef, Asu'uhu Kiger Li'achar Asoro Doros. The kusi, we mentioned, was a people that joined the Jewish nation many, many years ago. So you have this, this element of history, of age, of time ago. So Rav Elazar says, Rav Yosef, in explaining Rav Elazar, we view the kusi like a ger after 10 generations. A ger is a convert after 10 generations. Desanyo. Ger ad asoro doros mutur b'mamzeres. A convert up till 10 generations is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Mikan ve'elich osur b'mamzeres. More than that, if he's more than 10 generations from the original convert, he can't marry a mamzeres. He's viewed as a Jew, as an original full pedigree Jew, and if we would allow him to marry a mamzeres, people would think Jews, pure pedigree Jews, can marry mamzerim. So we don't want that to happen. Another approach is that when his original association, I would use the word reputation, but that might not be an accurate presentation, but his original association or name as being from a family of idol worshippers is no longer associated with him. At that point, we won't allow him to marry a mamzeres. Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi column, Rashi says, Asa'uhu kiger li'achar asora doros. The Fishin is Yashna Bisrael, since they've been amongst the Jews, the Kusim have been amongst the Jews for many years. Fenir and Kisrael, and they appear as Jews. The Osir, Bipsulus Likohol. We don't want the Kusi marrying those that are unfit, that are disqualified from marrying into the Jewish rank and file. Shemo Yomri Yisrael Nosa Psula, because if we allow the Kusi to do that, people will think that Jews in general are allowed to marry those people that are apostle, that are rejected. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar le Abaye, mi domi. How can you compare the case of ger la'achar asor doros to the kusi? Hasam ger yashan u'mamzeres chadosha. There you have a ger, many generations after the original convert. You're dealing with his descendant more than 10 generations later. And his potential marriage to an obvious mamzeres, to a recent mamzeres. That's what the source was prohibiting. Amri, because in a case like that, people would say, Bar Yisrael, who? To call Nasuv Mamzeres. So you have a Jew, a full-fledged Jew marrying a Mamzeres. Hocha, in the case of Rebbe Lozer's din with Kusi and Kusis, Idi v'idi ki hadodi ninhu. They're of the same standing, the Kusi with the Kusis. And if you're going to view them as Gerim Yishonim, as old Gerim, as Gerim from time, from many, many generations before, so both the man and the woman are on the same footing. Rashi, at the end of the commentary, says, Idi v'idi kahadodi ninu, v'i Gerim Yishonim heima machzikim es zeh bekashus, machzikim gam es zu bekashus. If we're going to view the man, the Kusi, as a ger from more than 10 generations, so the woman would also be like that. So why would you prevent them from marrying one another? Elo, ki osa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Elozer. Let me read that again. Also, let me also note before we go further that we have a long marking. This is the first approach to Rav Dimi. It will take you down several lines from the top of Omid Beis. That will be followed by a long question. We're going to question the approach, Aleph, the Aleph approach. And that leads us into a Beis, a second approach. So Rav Dimi says as follows, Elo ki osu Rav Dimi Omar. Rebbe Lozer sovar lo kerebi Yishmoel. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rebbe Yishmoel sovar lo kerebi Akiva. So we're forming a type of chain. And I use that expression deliberately. The chain. Why? Because if you skip to approach Beis, the second approach, notice we have the diamond. And there, Rebbe Lozer sovar lo kerebi Yishmoel, diomar kusim geri arayasem, v'sovar lo kerebi Akiva. Here we're not making a chain, we're saying that Rebbe Lozer adopts the opinions of Rabbi Yishmoel and Rabbi Akiva. In this approach, we're creating a chain. We're saying that Rebbe Lozer holds like Rabbi Yishmoel, and Rabbi Yishmoel in turn holds like Rabbi Akiva. So what are we actually saying? So Rav Dimi tells us that Rebbe Lozer, in prohibiting Kusi with Kusis, Rebbe Lozer is predicated upon Shitas Rabbi Yishmoel, and Rabbi Yishmoel is predicated upon Shitas Rabbi Akiva. And here the Gemara explains. Rebbe Lozer, who said Kusi lo yisa Kusis, sovar lo kerebi Yishmoel, diomar Kusim, geire aroyas heim. That the Kusim are like, the Kusim are converts out of fear of lions. They are basically simple idol worshippers. Their conversion is nothing. They're like a standard Gentile who marries a Bas Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel sovar lo kerebi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel in turn holds like Rabbi Akiva, diomar oivid kichovim veved abo Bas Yisrael avlad mamzer. The result of a Gentile impregnating a Jewish woman, the child would be considered a mamzer. Let us now go over what we have just said through the Rashi. Rashi on the first narrow line, Rabbi Shmuel sovar lo kerebi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmoel, after telling you that Rebbe Lozer holds like Rabbi Yishmoel that the Kusim are their conversion is simply unreliable. Rabbi Yishmoel in turn holds like Rabbi Akiva, the ha chayve lavin hein, relationship, a wedding between a Jew and a non-Jew is prohibited by a negative command. And Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that relationships that are prohibited even by a mere negative command result in mamzerus. Hilka kusi lo yiso kusis. Why? The travayu sveke mamzerim heim. You have a male and a female kusim. Both of them carry with them this suffix. Maybe they are mamzerim. How do you figure that? Diyesh lomar b'chol echod mehem, each one of these kusis, the man and the woman, Hu bo mi Yisraelis haniseis loivin kichovim varehu mamzer. That one of them is the product of a kusi impregnating a Jewish woman, and that would make the kusi a mamzer. Vizu bo mi kusi vikusis meoilom. And the other one comes from a pure lineage of kusis marrying one another. Inami ipcha. Ipcha meaning the way we just presented it is what was that the man is a mamzer, is a maybe the mamzer, and she is a regular goya, or the other way around. So we don't want the one who's classified as a mamzer. We don't know which one it is, but one of them might be classified as a mamzer, and the other one is classified as a straightforward idol worshiper. Now, a mamzer is, technically speaking, is a Jewish individual. He's not allowed to marry a Gentile. He's not allowed to marry an idol worshiper. Hence, by, we'll say, stringing together these shitas, Rabbi Elazar holding like Rabbi Shmuel, that the kusim are gerei aroyos, and Rabbi Shmuel holding like Rabbi Kiva, that a Jewish woman who's impregnated by a goy, the child is a mamzer. The result is that a kusi cannot marry a kusis because of the doubt that one of them might in fact be a mamzer. And as we said, a mamzer is a Jewish person and not allowed to marry the other one who might have been a purebred kusi, which is a goy. The Gemara raises a question, though. Umi sovar lo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva? Does Rabbi Shmuel really hold by Rabbi Akiva that Eved that Oved Kichavam Abba Abbas Yisrael that the Vlad is a mamzer? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. We've dashed underline Rabbi Shmuel. We want to focus on his shita. Minayin li Oved Kichavam ve'Eved Shebo Alkehenes Alvio Abbas Yisrael Sheposlua. From where do we know that a Gentile or a slave that impregnates a Jewish woman, whether she's a Kehenes, a Levi, or a Bas Yisrael, that they've rendered her psula. Now the word psula we've dashed underline. That they've rendered her, we'll say, unfit to marry the kahuna. Shenemar ubas kohen ki si almono grusha vizera ein la. That pasuk says that a bas kohen, when she becomes an almona or a grusha, when she becomes a widow or divorced, she goes back to her father's house and resumes the eating of truma, which kohanim and their families are entitled to do. And we learn from here, mishi yesh loy almonus vegerushin. He who creates by his death a state of widowhood, or upon his divorcing her creates a state of divorce, yotza, to the exclusion of Oved Kichavim ve'Eved She'ein Lo Almonus V'Gerushin. Idol worshippers, Gentiles, slaves, they don't have any connection to halachic standards of widowhood or divorce. If you were to think that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva, Hashta Mamzer have mifsal b'biyoso b'baya. Mind you, the Oved Kichavim who impregnates a Jewish woman creates mamzerus. Would I have to tell you that he renders the woman unfit through his intimacy? That would be so obvious. I wouldn't need Rabbi Shmuel seeking an independent source for an idol worshiper rendering a woman, a Jewish woman of pure pedigree, unfit to truma, when the Oved Kichavim is the individual that, had he impregnated her, would have resulted in children that are mamzerim. the disqualification of a woman under those circumstances would have been so obvious. Rashi elaborates, Mifsal b'biya mibaya, if Oyvid kichavim al bo'al bas Yisrael would have resulted in a child that's a mamzer, do I need to tell you that the Oyvid kichavim, as a result of his intimacy with the woman, renders her unfit to truma? Falomali haikra, what would I need a pasuk for? The pasuk that we read, ubas kohen kisei almona, what would I need that for? Elo ein havlad mamzer svirolei. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva that the oivik kechavam al bo bas Yisrael does not result in mamzerus. V'afagav delo tafsi le bo kiddushin, even though there is no kiddushin that is formed between a Gentile and a Jewish woman, v'hadisnan kol she'ein lo alof kiddushin avlad mamzer. And true, we had a rule that when you have a bonding between people that could not produce or cannot result in kiddushin in formal marriage, the child is a mamzer. That's dafke b'yesh lo v'lo kiddushin al-yedei achirim. Say the rule that ain law a love kiddushin the vlad is a mamzer, that's only when you're dealing with a union of two people that do have kiddushin with others. Example, brother and sister, so there's no union of, there's no marital union that can exist between them, but that boy and girl, that male and female that are brother and sister with regard to other people, he can marry another woman, and she can marry another man, just as long as it's not her brother. The source in the Torah for this is that the pasuk that deals with mamzerus is written in the context of Eishes Av, of a man having intimacy with his father's wife. Well, what kind of bonding is that? So with a man has intimacy with his father's wife, so there's no marriage. But that same person could have married another woman, and there would have been marriage, to the exclusion of the case of Oyved Kechavim HaBoah Bas Yisrael. The Oyved Kechavim doesn't have a marital bonding with her, nor with any other Jew. That situation then does not result in mamzerus, as far as, of course, Rabbi Shmuel is concerned. So we continue in the Gemara. We have to figure what is the basis of Rebbe Lozer, who said, Kusi lo yiso kusis. We haven't solved that yet. Elo, Rebbe Lozer sovra lo kirbi Shmuel. Rather, Rebbe Lozer holds, like Rabbi Shmuel, Dorma Kusim Geire Aroyas. V'sovar, Rebbe Lozer, Sovar Lok Rabbi Akiva, Dorma Evikichem, Evin Abo Abbas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. The improvement in this approach is that we're not saying that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. That we already proved cannot be. But Rebbe Lozer himself came up with his ruling because he amalgamated Rabbi Shmuel with Rabbi Akiva in his own perception of things. Once that is the case, so we understand, we can go back to what we saw before in the Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow lines, that we can't allow a kusi to marry a kusis, because one might have been the product of the kusi, who's viewed as a goy, as a Gentile, having been parented by a mother that's a Jew, so he becomes a mamzer. And the other one is a purebred kusi with kusis back to the beginning of time. And as such, they would be a Gentile. Well, a mamzer, as we said, is a Jewish person. They cannot marry a Gentile. The Gemara continues, Umi sovar lo Rebbe Lozer k'Rabbi Akiva. And here we're bringing into question the assumption we just made. Does Rebbe Lozer hold like Rebbe Akiva? V'ha'omar Rebbe Lozer, afal pi shenechliku be'shamay u'be'shilel, Betzoros, even though in Maseches Yevomos there is a Tanaic disagreement between Beis Shammai and Hillel regarding the co-wife of a prohibited relationship. The example, one of many examples that we could give, is if you had two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven married Shimon's daughter. Reuven dies leaving no children, but he leaves two widows, his niece, Shimon's daughter, and another woman. The other woman is called a Tzora, and she's called a Tzora, a co-wife of an Erva, because when Reuven dies, who is the surviving brother? The father of one of those women. That is a prohibited relationship. There's no Yibum there. What about the co-wife? Does she engage in Yibum? Can she do Yibum with Shimon, the surviving brother? Beis Shammai says yes, Beis Hillel says no. So they have an argument concerning the case of Tzoros. Nevertheless, Moedim, they agree, She'ein Mamzer Elomimi, She'isuro, Isur Erva, V'onish Kores. Mamzerus, as a general category, only results in the union of two people, which is punishable by kores. A goy, impregnating a Jewish woman, that's not a sin punishable by kores. It's a negative command that's violated, but it's not punishable by kores. When I say it's a negative command that's violated, their marriage, we'll say, the attempt of marriage. We said before there's no marital bond that's actually formed, but the goy trying to marry a Jew, the Jew is in violation of a negative command, but it's not kores. So there's no mamzerus. So you see that Rebbe Lozer can't hold like Rebbe Akiva. So what is the explanation for Rebbe Lozer, who said Kusi lo yisokusis? Elokioso Ravin. Here again we have another crown marking, and we're here to explain Rebbe Lozer. So when Ravin came, we have here four lines of names. When Ravin came, Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Viamri lo, another version of names is Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavd, Omar Rabbi Chanino, Viamri lo, another version of names is Omar Rabbi Yankiv Bar Idi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Sholosh Machloikos Badovar. On the side of the Gemara, you see we have a structural note. Gimel Deos Tanoim Be'inyin Kusim V'Kehanim Shinitmu Bahem. We're going to see three Tanaic approaches, and the third approach, you see at the upper part of Ayin Vavam and Aleph, is in our triangle Yesh Omrim, and the line under that, the Gemara says Man Yesh Omrim Om Ravidi Barov and Om Rebbe Lozer He. So this is really what we're looking for. We're looking for an explanation of Shitas Rebbe Lozer, and eventually we'll get to it. But in the meantime, we are told that there are three opinions of Tanoim regarding Kusim and Kehanim that got mixed in, absorbed into the Kusi population. Why are we mentioning Kehanim all of a sudden? Because there's a reference to Kehanim in a pasuk that deals with them, with the Kusim. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Kusim Geire Aroyas Hain. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, and notice, of course, we have a double underline marking and on the side of the Gemara, Kusim Geire, and we leave that open. The first approach is Geire Aroyas, Aroyas are lions. The second approach, you'll see Geire Emes. So the double underline highlights the different opinions on how to look at the Kusim. Yesh Lahair, we want to point out the Deo Hashlishis, the third opinion, Hayesh Oimrim, who died to Shirbelezer, to who Asibashimuva Gimel Deilis Elo. He is the reason for our our quoting these three opinions. So let's continue. Rabbi Yishmael holds that kusim are illegitimate converts. They're geri arayos. They converted to Judaism out of a fear of lions that were threatening them, and that's not a conversion that we can recognize as an honest conversion out of a love of Judaism, but rather a conversion out of fear of lions threatening them. V'kayanim shnitmu bohen, and the kohanim that became absorbed into the Kusi population, kohanim psulim hayu, they were disqualified kohanim. Shneimar vayasu lohem miktsoisam kohani bomas. V'yomar Rabba bar Chanan Rav Yochanan, Rabba in explaining this pasuk, says min hakoitzim she ba'om. Kotsim are thorns. Rashi, toward the end of the end of the commentary, says min hakoitzim loshen koitz shupsula lishnachina muktzim hein min ha'om lifsul. The kohanim that got absorbed into the Kusi population were like thorns or like muktzah. They were not kosher. They were disqualified. They had a problem in their pedigree. Umishum hachi paslinu, and because of that, they were rendered unfit. V'Rebbe Akiva sovar kusim geire emes hein. The kusim were originally real Jewish converts. The kohanim shnitmuhen, kohanim ksherim hayu. The kohanim that were referred to in the pasuk above were originally kohanim ksherim, full-fledged kosher kohanim. Shenemar, and we quote the pasuk again, and you'll see then the explanation for Bekiva on it. It said, "Vayasu lohem miktsoisam kayani bamois." V'omar Rabba Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Akiva, what does miktsoisam mean? Min habechirim sheba'om. The word ktsoisam associated with katsinim. Katsinim are officers. Choice individuals from the choice individuals of the choice kohanim, they were absorbed into the Kusi population. Velam ipnei ma'osrum. If that's the case, if on the one hand they were geri emes and the kohanim that mixed in were kosher kohanim, why were the Kusis rendered prohibited? Mipnei shahoyu miyabmim es ho'arusais. We continue at the top of Daf Ayin Vav. Upoitrim es hanesuois. They had a contorted halachic approach to the laws of Yibum. They said that if a man dies leaving a widow who's an arusa, in other words, they never consummated their marriage, so then there will be Yibum with the surviving brother. However, if a man had consummated his marriage and died leaving no children, then there is no Yibum. There's no Yibum at all. And she would be exempt from Chalitza. And the result of that is a woman that we know is obligated in Yibum. She was married to a man that had no children. Upon his death, she should have done Yibum. But the Kusis didn't learn like that. And the result was that you have a woman who's called a Yevoma. She's going to marry some outsider, according to the Kusi way of thinking. And that would be a negative command. That's called Yevoma Lashuk. And according to Rabbi Akiva, children who are the products of Chayvei Lavin, unions where a negative command is violated, those children are Mamzerim. so that amongst the Kusi population, there was the ultimate emergence of Mamzerim because of their approach to Yibum. My Darshi, what was their erroneous drasha, their erroneous explanation of the Psukim? The Pasuk says in the Torah, Lo Sia Eshes Hameis Hachutza Leish Zar. The Pasuk is telling us that the widow, that's the Eshes Hameis, she shouldn't be Leish Zar. How did the Kusis misread that, misinterpret it? Hach Diyasva Chutza, the woman, the wife that literally sat outside. That's a reference to the Arusa, the first stage of marriage, which hasn't been consummated yet. She's not living with her husband. She's still outside. She's still in her father's house. So that kind of woman, that's the Hachutza. She is the one, Lo Sia Lishzor. She shall not marry some stranger, but rather she shall marry the Yavam. She does Yibum. Aval Hachdelo Yosva Chutza. However, the inference would be that the woman that was not living outside of her husband, but rather had a consummated full marriage, she was a Nisua. The term Nisua indicates a woman who was fully married. She, Tia Lishzor, she shall marry out. In other words, not do Yibum. Rabbi Akiva Letamei, and Rabbi Akiva, in describing this as a reason for psul, for disqualifying the kusim, is Rabbi Akiva consistent with his general opinion? Diomar yesh mamzer mechayve lavin. Mamzerus is produced through a union of people that are prohibited to the tune of a negative command, and a woman who was married became a widow and doesn't do yibum, and there's no chalitza. She's prohibited by negative command to marry someone else. So, according to the Kusis and their approach to their misinterpretation of the Torah, there would result mamzerus in their population, and hence the kusim are rendered unfit. They're considered psulim. V'yeshomrim l'fishein b'kim b'dikduke mitzvus. Another approach is that they're not diligent in the details of mitzvos. Man yeshomrim, who is this? Amar of Edi bar Oven, Rabbi Eliezer, he. It's the Rebbe Lozer that we're looking for. Rebbe Lozer said, Kusi lo yisa kusis. And the Gemara goes on to describe what was meant by they're not boki b'dikduke mitzvahs. Later, we'll have to tie this into the issues of pedigree, which is our topic. But here, by way of general background, when we speak about kusim not being diligent in dikduke mitzvahs, I mentioned general background, but here a general background with a specific example. Desanya. Matzas kusi. Matzah from holiday of Pesach. The matzah that a kusi prepares, that bakes, muteris. You can eat it on Pesach. You don't have to worry about it having fermented, having become chometz. The odom yotze b'yedei chayvosu b'Pesach. According to the first approach, you can even use it to fulfill your Pesach matzah requirement. Pesach matzah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzahs, it's not enough that you're eating a matzah that has not fermented. In addition to that, it has to be a matzah that was prepared with the intention of the mitzvah of matzah. That's called lishma. So if you eat the matzah prepared by a kusi, not only is it chometz free, but it has also been prepared with the mitzvah details required to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. Here we've dashed underlined the main point, or the name, Rebbe Lezer Oser. L'fishein b'kiyim b'duke mitzvahs. Rebbe Lezer forbids. Why? Because the kusi that prepared it is a member of people of a people that are not diligent in the details of mitzvahs. Rabban Shimon Gamliel loymer kol mitzvah shechziku ba kusim harbe medakten ba yosim Yisrael. And Shimon Gamliel has his approach that any mitzvah that the kusim have adopted, have chosen to keep, they are more diligent in that than even regular Jews. So that was a bit of a, we'll say, a matzah discussion, and we see Rebbe Elazar is circumspect with regard to the level of diligence that kusim have in fulfillment of mitzvahs, specifically matzah. Ve'lahachi my ein bekiyin. Regarding our topic of pedigree that we've been discussing here in Kiddushin, what do we mean by ein bekiyin? What is that? Lefish ein bekiyin b'toras Kiddushin v'gerushin. The Kusi people are not careful in the details of marriage and divorce. And when you violate details of divorce, for example, the woman who is handed improperly prepared divorce document, she's not divorced. She's still married. She might think she's divorced. Well, because she's from the Kusi people, she might think she's divorced. She'll go marry another man. You've just created mamzerus, a still married woman bearing children with another man. Those children are mamzerim. As a result, Rebbe Elazar will tell you that the Kusi people, some of them are the product of improper marriages. Some of them are the product of proper marriages and divorces. You don't know who is who. So you have a situation of a kosher person possibly marrying a mamzer. And that's why kusi lo yiso kusis. Rashi, third line from the top.
What's the issue of expertise? That they lack hilkoch the Rabbi Lezer kusi lo yosu kusis shemo echad min habikiyin shalur upsu b'nisuei avoysov.
One kusi might be the descendant of people that there is no improper gittin in their background. Mainly, we'll call him kosher Jew. V'asheni misheina b'kiyin, and the other one is a descendant of those that were not expert in the laws of divorce. Vira sofek eshesish b'kiddushia voisof sheniskatcha li'acher v'amreinon kiddushin v'niseis li'acher. And as we described before, one of the kusis might be a descendant of a still married woman because the get she received was improperly prepared. Thinking that she's divorced, she went ahead and married someone else. The descendants are all mamzerim. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachmon, Omar Rabba Bar Avua. You notice another crown. So Rav Nachmon is in effect another explanation of why kusi lo yiso kusis. So he says, mamzer me'achoso u'mamzer me'eshes ach nisarvu bohen. Amongst the kusis, there were mamzerim that got mixed in. What kind of mamzerim? Mamzerim that were the result of achosa, brother and sister marrying, or mamzerim as a result of a man marrying his brother's wife when he shouldn't have outside the context of Yibum. That those kind of people got mixed in amongst the kusis. Maiko mashmolon, what's Rab Nachman's point? That yesh mamzer mechayve krisus, that mamzerus is the result of a relationship of krisus. Nisni chado, would it not have been sufficient for Rav Nachman to teach one example? Namely, teach mamzer meachoso, got mixed in. Why teach both examples? The Gemara answers, maisa shehoya kachoya. The only reason he mentions both examples is because that's what actually happened. Historically, these two kinds of mamzerus people got mixed in with the Kusi population. V'Rava Omar, Rava says, Eved v'shivcho nisarvu bohen, that in the Kusi history, slaves, Eved, and Shivcha,
heathen bondmaids had intimacy. Kusis with avodim, kusis with shvachas got mixed in. And now we tell you some of the kusis that's what happened, and other kusis that didn't happen. Well, isuram mishumai, what is the isur in the case of, let's say, Evan Haboal Kusis? What is the isur? Mishum shivcha. Let us go over this last point just for greater accuracy. If you say that the problem with the kusis is that Eved Avodim impregnated kusi women, or kusi men impregnated shvachas, what's the problem here? Isura mishumai mishum shivcha. The isur would be only in the case of the kusi impregnating the shivcha. The resultant child would be of slave status. And what about the other way around? What about an eved man impregnating a kusi woman? And we're working, of course, with the idea that the kusim were gerei emes, so they're regular Jews. What would be the din of the eved that impregnates a Jewish woman? There, the vlad is kosher, because an eved has no association with his offspring. But a shivcha, a bondmaid that is impregnated, the child has her identity, slave status. So the question the Gemara asks now is, Nisni Chada, just teach the case of shivcha alone, because only there do you really have a problem. Why does Rava say that Eved v'shivcha nisarvu behen? The Gemara answers, the only reason Rava mentioned Eved got mixed up in them as well is Maisishoya Kachoya. That's what actually happened historically. Not that that would have been a reason for disqualifying them. However, the fact that a kusi might have impregnated a shivcha, that line would have resulted in slave descendants. Whereas other kusis might be pure kusi pedigree, meaning pure Jewish pedigree, and we can't allow Jews marrying slaves. And hence, kusi, lo yisa kusis. So, as you can see, just by scanning over our recent sukya, we have been presenting a number of different approaches, trying to understand what was the reason for Rebbe Lozer's ruling of kusi lo yisa kusis. We started on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, four lines up from the bottom, and these explanations continued till this very end point of the Gemara. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.